Welcome again to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis Phillips, and I'm the lead pastor, and we're glad that you are here to worship. I hope and pray that this place feels like family, and that when you're here, you sense something different. Our prayer every week is that as we come into this place, that we would leave here different than when we came in, because we believe that when we meet with God, something changes, that we can't not be moved. We can't not be changed when we meet with the living God. So that's our prayer for you tonight. And we have another opportunity coming up of a time of extended worship and teaching and then practical application of walking with God. And we call that our encounter night. And we're trying to do those regularly throughout the year. There's one coming up this Friday night. It'll be right here in this building at 7 o'clock. So Friday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to have an extended time to just be in God's presence, to practically learn about what it looks like to walk out and walk with God, walk out in the power of God. And so I hope that you'll be here. We've had a couple of these already, and they've been a wonderful time of being together and learning from the Lord. So that's this Friday night, encounter night, right here at 7 o'clock. So hope you'll be able to make it. I want to start out tonight by telling you a story. And this story is about a man named Zach. Some of you may know him. And Zach was a very wealthy man. He was known for being a man of great means. And that's what people knew of him. However, the bad part of that was that he was also known for being a man who often illegally got those means. And he would get those means and that money at any cost, even if it hurt other people. And he became a very wealthy man, but over time he began finding that his money didn't bring him the things that he really wanted. He was without friends, he was lonely, he lacked hope. He lacked a sense of purpose with his life. And in fact, he found out over time his heart was just growing more and more cold and distant. And he knew he needed something else. Well, over the course of time, he heard about a man. And this man was a man who was giving people hope. This man was healing people in their physical bodies. They were being healed physically. Not only were their bodies being healed, but he kept hearing about how their hearts and their lives were being restored. And Zach was absolutely and completely intrigued by this man. In fact, he desperately wanted to see him. And he heard that one day this man was going to be traveling through his town. He was going to be passing through. There was just one problem that Zach was facing. Zach was very short, okay? And it just so happened that as this man came and passed through the town, that there was a lot of people wanting to press in and see him. And as they did that, Zach had a problem. He couldn't see Jesus, this man that was healing. And yet Zach had a great idea. He had seen a ladder behind the black curtains at the front of the building. And so he went and pulled it out so that he could see Jesus. And what we know of this story, the Bible tells us that he eagerly wanted to see Jesus. And I'm sure people looked at him like he was crazy. But he wanted to see this man. His heart was desperate. And so Jesus finally came passing by. And Jesus, though he never had seen Zach, he looked up to the ladder. And he said, "Zach, you come down immediately, for I'm going to your house this day." And Zach came off the ladder with joy. And the crowds dispersed. And Jesus went back home with Zach. Amen. Starring our very own Zach Papuga. And this is where we pick up in Luke chapter 19, the crowds actually grumbled. It said that the people saw what was going on and they began to mutter that Jesus would go and mix it up with sinners, with tax collectors that were known for being despicable, selfish people. He would go eat with them. And so Jesus went to his house anyway. And it says this in Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 8. It says, "But Zacchaeus stood up, and he said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" The story of Zacchaeus is one that many of you perhaps learned as a child on the little flannel boards and the characters dancing their way across the flannel boards. We had our own flannel characters here today, and they showed us this story of this man. And the amazing thing of what happens in this man's life is the declaration that Jesus made, that salvation has come to this house this day. However, as we read this, nobody prayed a prayer. Did Zacchaeus pray a prayer? Did he say, "Jesus, I want you to come into my heart"? Did he say, "I declare that you are Lord"? We didn't see any of that happening. We didn't see Zacchaeus giving his heart to Jesus. It doesn't show up in some of the typical ways that we think of. But what we see is Zacchaeus making a financial decision. We're in the middle of a series called The Generous Life, and we're looking at the generosity, the massive, overwhelming, unending generosity of God, of how he gave of himself so that we could live. And the invitation of this series is for us to enter into the generous life, not the selfish life that would hoard our own wealth, that would isolate us, that would cause bitterness and introspection to rise up, but the generous life where we are giving, where we are not thinking about our own gain, but looking at how we can bless others, how we can give away the great love and life that God has given us. That is the generous life. Oftentimes, generosity is tied to finances. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about tithing and the biblical precedent of tithing, the mandate that we have in Scripture, where God says, "The first fruits are mine. I want to bless you. I want you to have everything you need, because I'm a loving father." But what the tithe is our opportunity to say, "God, we trust you. It is yours. The first of everything we have, we give to you." In fact, God says in the book of Malachi that his people are robbing him. And the people are like, "What do you mean? How are we robbing you?" And God says, "You're robbing me in tithes and offerings. You're not giving. You're not trusting me." And so we talked about the tithe a couple of weeks ago. And tonight we have the opportunity to talk about radical giving, the offering. What is the offering? What is it like? What does it look like to give ourselves to God? And there are many ways that we do that, and we're going to be exploring that, but tonight we're specifically looking at how finances throughout scriptures are tied and integrally, they're all linked. That's a better, easier word. They're linked to our heart. Our finances, possessions are absolutely linked to our heart, and the scripture talks a lot about it. And what we see in the story of Zacchaeus is Zacchaeus making a financial decision and declaration. He says, "Here and now, Jesus, in your presence, you stepped into my house. You've spoken words, and they are life to my soul. Your presence is what I have desperately needed. You've stepped into my house, though people have grumbled and muttered all kinds of things about you. And my life is being changed." And he says, "I, right now, in your presence, am going to give half of my possessions to the poor. half of everything that I own, half of anything that is in my name, right now, here and now, I give it to the poor. And there's more than that. There's more than that because there's people that I've wronged. And so anyone and everyone that I have ever cheated out of money, right now, I declare that I will pay those people back, not only what I stole, but four times the amount that I took from them. That's all that Zacchaeus says. And then Jesus says, I tell you the truth, today salvation has come to this home. You think finances are not related to the heart? Jesus heard this financial declaration and he said, whoa, this is good. Today salvation has come. I just witnessed it. That this man whose life has been about money, has been about his possessions, it has ruined him. It has isolated him. It has been what the pursuit of his life has been about. Not altogether unlike what the pursuit of our lives in this country, in our culture, can often be about. But he makes this declaration. And in the declaration, he is saying, these things no longer have my heart, but you do. I thought that this would bring me life, but I was wrong. You bring me life. I thought that I just needed more money to make me happy. I thought if I had more wealth, my problems would go away. But actually, they only compounded. I can't just get more money to free me up from the fear or worry of money. I actually need God to break through. And we see in the life of Zacchaeus that finances and possessions can grasp our heart in a way that sucks life. And God wants to set us free. Because money cannot buy us freedom. It cannot buy peace for our souls. It cannot bring a joy through any and every circumstance. It cannot do it. Only God can. And I want to tell you a little of my story. And some of you, I know I've talked about it a little in here before, so you've heard it, but I want to go into a little more detail just so that you can hear my own journey with this. And I didn't even know that it was an issue. I didn't know I had a problem. I should have, and you're going to wonder why, because it all starts, as some of you know, with a large bottle of herbal essence. This bottle of herbal essence stayed in my shower that I shared with four other guys, my roommates, and I got it on sale, you know, probably about $3.97, sitting there, and it's what I use. I love the smell of it. I thought it smelled good, so I bought it, and I was using it, and I don't have long hair, and I really didn't at the time. And what I soon realized was that this herbal essence was vanishing before my eyes, much quicker than I ever could have been using it. And as ridiculous as it is, bitterness started growing up in my heart. Someone is using my shampoo. And it literally was getting to me. Every time I stepped in the shower, this just nasty thing rose up in me. And of course I would never say anything because that's embarrassing. But it was growing. I was like, this yuck, this is no good. And it was something that I believe that God was allowing me to see in that season of my life, because it was right in that time that I then heard a message. I was in a church, and there was a message being given probably similar to the one that I'm sharing today. And he was talking about giving. He was talking about just giving, being generous with, specifically with your money. And that had never hit me. I was a grad student. I didn't have a lot of money. I had never thought about that. That was not my realm of thinking. I mean, I would give to the church at times, you know. I was working on the tithing part, but looking for opportunities to give to someone in need never really crossed my mind. Obviously, I mean, I'm concerned with the $3.97 bottle of shampoo. And so what God did in that service, he started getting my heart, and I was convicted. I was thinking about all that stuff rising up in me every time I take a shower, and I was like, God, I don't want that. I don't want that in me. And even if I could get over the shampoo, I would know there's still something in me that I just don't want. And so coming out of that service, I felt like God spoke to me. And I felt like he was challenging me to give one of my roommates a $100 bill. And for me at that time, that was a lot of money. It seemed like a lot of money. I was just thinking, $100, God? $100, do you know how many hours that is working in the kitchen at my grad school? Do you know how many times I have to change the fryer? How many sandwiches I have to make for $100 at like $7 an hour? That's a lot of dishes. And I hate cleaning the fryer. And so I'm thinking through all of these things, and because it's a process. And you think, okay, $100 is not that much. Suck it up. But I was in my shampoo $3.97 world. So that is a big difference. That's a leap. You know, that is a faith stretcher. And so what I did, I began processing with God. And something began to happen. First of all, I said, okay, God, I'm going to do it. But as I began to plan, I actually started getting excited. There was an excitement building, and I went to the bank, and I got a $100 bill, and I was like, wow, I haven't even held that many of these. And I was like, okay, how am I going to do it? I got to make sure he's not home. And so I went in when I knew he was at work, and I went and put it under his pillow. I was like, okay, I'll find it. And then I got really nervous and went back. I was like, maybe he won't find it. So I put it on top of his pillow. And so it was this fun thing that I was just gonna bless him. Then he wasn't even know who did it. And it became fun and freeing. I was like, and seriously, the shampoo from that moment forward was never an issue again. It was like something was dealt with in my heart. It at least got me over the shampoo phase, you know? There was a lot more to come, and we're going to get there. But God began doing something. Out of a small step, what felt like radical giving and obedience to me. And what it did was got me out of it. Took me out of my little world, what I could see. I didn't see myself as a hoarder or a super selfish person, but it got me out of my little world and got me to thinking, what is going on in the kingdom? I wasn't even in the nations yet. I wasn't thinking, I was just the people that I see around me every day. What is God doing? How could I be a blessing? He was setting my heart free. Shortly after that, Joy and I got married, and it really became fun for us to look for opportunities to give. Okay, God, we've got this money. How can we give? How can we give above and beyond? You know, we had committed to the tithe, but this money that we have left over, how can we give? And so we went on this journey of just getting to stick money in people's doors. I mean, it really was fun. This one couple. We felt like God highlighted, and we were like, okay, we got to wait till they go to sleep. And so we were creeping down their street, you know, and then we turned our lights off because we saw their lights were off in their house. We turn our lights off and pull up and go put an envelope, just, you know, $200-$300 in their door. And it was fun to get to bless them. Other times we felt like it wasn't necessarily anonymous. We have a dear friends in our church that were really needing a second car. And we had heard about it and felt like, God, is this something we could give to? And then he began stretching us even more because it's fun sometimes, but then sometimes it's like, what? Are you sure? And so this time he upped the ante a little for us. And he said, I want you to, felt like he was leading us to give a couple thousand dollars. And we're like, a couple thousand dollars. That's, you know, that's a couple months rent. That's, you know, we start thinking through that, but then God works it through in our heart. And we're like, okay, this is going to be good. And then we were able to give it to them. And then we got to share in their journey. One of their little kids was praying, and they were teaching her to hear the voice of God. And she got a picture of this green car that they were going to buy. And so they ended up finding on Craigslist this car that matched her description just randomly. And they ended up buying it. And it was just this fun victory story for their family. And we got to be a part of it. We weren't the only ones. Some others gave. But it was just fun to be involved with God working in his kingdom. And then what was going on in our church at that time was really, really sweet. It was not just going on in us, but God was doing this, and he was making us a generous people. In that time, we had a couple of appliances break down. Like, all in the matter of a week or two, we had two or three appliances that broke. And we were able to work on a couple of them, and then our dryer, though, was a little more expensive. And we're like, God, what do we need to do? This is really expensive. Well, Adam and Shelly, who you guys know, Adam's our worship pastor, and his wife Shelly, we were just getting to know them at the time. And they had a financial need and that someone had found out about and began giving to them anonymously every week, stuffing an envelope underneath their windshield wiper. And so, and they had been praying and saying, God, you know, we feel like you're calling us into more ministry, and so we're going to have a little bit lack of funds. God, we need help. So they were praying, and they had a certain amount a month that they were short. Well, every month they were getting a few hundred dollars too much. It was actually more than they needed. So instead of saying, okay, well good, we have extra, they're like, God, is there anybody that you want us to bless? Because you actually, we got too much. They heard about us needing a dryer, and they said, hey, We've got a few hundred bucks here. We'd love to help you buy a dryer. And so it's just really sweet. It talks about in Acts 2, there's a story there that talks about the early church, and it says that nobody in their midst had a need. It's nobody in their midst had a need because they gave to one another freely. And I felt like, wow, I'm tasting this. Like, we have a little extra. We're like, God, what can we do with it? Okay, we can give to this person. Then we need something, and somebody gives to us. It was really beautiful. It was really life-giving in our community, that God was just moving, and people were being freed up from finances and being able to give. God loves to stretch us beyond what we think we can even handle. And he continued and has continued to stretch us beyond what we feel like we're capable of. But you know what? Even as some of the gifts have grown and we have been stretched and said, God, are you sure? I've never looked back and said, oh, what, I wish I had that money now. Oh, goodness, if we wouldn't have done that, then we wouldn't be in this situation. It's never been like that. Instead, it has been the opportunity to give this beautiful gift to God. And that's really how we see it. We got to give to a building campaign. And more than giving to that building, I felt like we were supposed to be one of the donors that they were asking for. And we were like, oh, no, God. But we said yes, and we did it. But it was totally a blessing to be a part of the building and seeing them get the building. But really, it was just, God, if you said to do it, it's yours. This gift is to you. And we love you. We know that you have given us all things, and we want to be free. We want to be free. We don't understand the whys or the whats, but we want to be free. We want to be free. And God wants each and every one of us to be free. To be free from what money can do to us, how it can suffocate, how it can strangle. And he wants to give us life by making us a generous people. I want to run real quick through a passage of scripture in Luke 12. And there's three mindsets, there's three things that are going to happen here. The first one is the mindset. We talk a lot about the heart and how money is linked to the heart. But it's also a mindset that we must have. And so read with me, beginning in Luke 12, verse 22. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And so what we see here at the beginning of this passage is a mindset. I am choosing not to worry about the things and possessions of this life, of this world that people and the world around me that say I need to have. I'm not going to worry about those things. I'm not going to spin my wheels and stress out in my life to seek after these things. I don't want to worry. That's not where I want my mind to be. Instead, my mindset is to seek his kingdom. Not like the pagan world, not to run after all of these other things, but instead seek his kingdom. And believe that then everything else will be added to us. God is with us. It says right before that, the Father knows that we need those things. So it comes back to, do we know that God is a generous God? Do we see him as our provider? And when we do that, when we know that, when we can see that, when we can grasp it, we don't have to worry anymore about the things of this life. Instead, we can seek first his kingdom. And our mind and our dreaming is about his kingdom. That's where we want to be. It goes on in verse 32, and it gives us the next step. From going from our mindset being right and our minds being on what is true so that we will believe it. And it begins to set in to then going to practical obedience. Verse 32 says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." We always have to go beyond just the mindset. The mindset is important because that's what, where we focus our minds, what we believe to be true, then dictates how we live. But if we just think about it, or we mentally assent to it as a truth, it just stays here. The next step is always practical application. And so Jesus says, get your mind on the things of the kingdom, not on the things of this earth. And as you get your mind on those things, then do not be afraid, because your Father has given you the kingdom. Go out and sell your possessions and give to the poor. Don't build up purses here, but store up treasure in heaven. And so there is a practical application that gets us involved. And when the practical application begins to set in, just like Zacchaeus, then it gets our heart. So we have it's in our mind. Then we practically take steps. And as we take steps, as we put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, then it begins to get to our heart. And this is the last verse in this passage, verse 34. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your heart follows your treasure. The things that you're treasuring, that's what your heart gravitates towards. Your heart is not in and of itself just this nice, good, loving thing. No, your heart gravitates towards what you are treasuring with your life. Does that make sense? Sometimes we think, oh, my heart is the piece of me that is so loving. The Bible actually describes our heart as being deceitfully wicked above everything else. Now, that's a little dramatic, but it's true. If we just leave our heart to go wandering wherever it may go, there is no end to what we could get ourselves into. And our world is an example of that. And so what we do is we want to treasure things. We want to lead our heart by treasuring that which is right, by seeking first the kingdom of God. And then there our heart will be also. We are passionate about the things that we're willing to suffer for. We are compassionate towards those that we are willing to suffer with. That's what the definition of those two words are. And how that relates to finances is this, that our hearts are given towards that which we sacrifice for. When we give him love, when we love and when we are passionate about God, and when we get into people's lives, that's where our heart is going to be. That's where our finances are. It's all in one. It's all wrapped up together. The example of that for my life, and I never fully understand it. It is this principle ringing true. Joy and I have been married for 10 years. Of 7 of those years, we've lived on support. It wasn't really fun to tell her parents that how we were going to be living at the time, but that's what we've been doing. We've been living on support for most of our married life. And what that means is that we have asked friends and family to support the work that God has called us to. We have trusted God to bring in the finances that we've needed. And there have been many people that have given to us over the years. Some people have given so faithfully and consistently. Some people have given way beyond what I ever thought they would be able to. They have sacrificially given to us. And there is something unique that has happened in our relationships with many of those people. There is a thankfulness in my heart that I am not able to put on paper. That my heart just feels linked to them, that they have given so much financially and to us. And because of that, I feel that their hearts are with us. It has absolutely communicated that our hearts are with you. Now, there is other ways to do that. I'm not saying that there's not ways that we can be supportive of people. And I'm not talking about big financial gifts, but I'm talking about people that have said, we're in with you. We want to help support you. And we feel it. And I always try to communicate it. Thank you so much for blessing us financially. But there's so much of a greater reward going on here in what we feel from you, that your hearts are with us. And so we feel this principle at work. So where are we tonight? Where are we? Where is our heart? Are we in a shampoo phase of life that is controlling us? Are there ways that God wants to open our eyes tonight to see how he is at work around us and how we can be a part of blessing people, of blessing them? Yes, giving monetarily, but also saying, my heart is for you. I'm demonstrating not only a financial gift, but passion for God and compassion for you. We're in it together. I want to close with this verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. It says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everything else." God is our Father. He is our Father. And he will generously supply all that we need to be a generous people. He calls us to be generous. And so that doesn't matter if $100 seems like an impossibility to you, or $10,000 is just a drop in the bucket to you. It doesn't matter, because it's about the heart. And listen, there is no agenda here. We are not raising money for anything. We're not doing that. And there is not a percentage that God wants to give you back because you give. But he does want to bless you. He does want to bless you because he is a good father. God will richly give so that we can be generous on every occasion. And when we're generous, people begin to see it. And then people will be overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Others will praise God for the obedience that you've shown in giving. People are going to say, wait a second. Everyone I know is selfish. They're about their own gain. They're figuring out how I can take the next step on the ladder of success, or getting to the white picket fence, or whatever is next. But you're different. There's something different about you. You would give to me. You would go out of your way. You don't even hardly know me. But there's something different about you. The difference is that you have been set free. You've been set free. God has set you free from really what it talks about in the Bible as the love of money. And so what I believe that God wants to open our eyes to see is, or maybe there is a place where I've been given too much to my own pursuits and my own gains. Lift my head tonight, so that I can see what you're doing and how I can be involved. Lord, we're asking that tonight you would set us free. That each and every one of us in this room would be stretched tonight to be radical givers to the kingdom of God, as an expression of worship and thanks to you, God. Lord, won't you set us free? Won't you set us free, God? A few weeks ago, Lauren and Carlos Amaro, Lauren came up, and we did that demonstration on tithing where we gave her $100 and said, okay, what's a tithe? She gives 10. Then we surprised her at the end and said, you just keep the rest. Well, she was communicating with me after the service what that meant to her. At church that day, she had come in and they had actually been really strapped financially. Some things had come up, some unexpected bills, and they were feeling really strapped. And they got here and felt like they were supposed to give to a particular college student to be able to go to World Mandate. And she felt like God said, you need to do that tonight. It was the deadline. And so she wrote a check for $85. That was the cost to go to World Mandate. And she gave it so that college student could go. And we were planning that little practical demonstration, and we said, but God, let it actually be a blessing to someone. Who would you want to bless? As we were praying about it, for whatever reason, God highlighted Lauren, so we called her up here. And she was just communicating with me after, like, what it spoke to her of God's faithfulness. That he is a father that knows them, that knows their need, and that as she is willing to give, that God will supply her every need. He will take care of her. He will take care of their family. And she was moved. And I love that principle. We often refer to it as keeping the money moving. Okay, God, if you want me to give, I'll give. And lo and behold, little does she know that we're praying, okay, God, we want to do this funny little thing, but we'll have $90 to give to someone. Who do you want to give it to, God? Why don't you give it to Lauren? Because I've been stirring in her to give it to this other person. And we'll just keep that money going where it needs to go. And so tonight in our time of response, we want to practically respond to God. And the response will be broken up into those three areas. You might need a mindset shift tonight. I need to not worry. I need to seek first the kingdom of God. I need to know that He is my provider. You need to allow God to speak that to you. Secondly, there might be a very practical step that God wants to speak to you tonight. That literally God may want to give you a nudge, put somebody on your heart, and say, you need to give to this person. You need to give. You need to take the practical step and give. And then subsequently, the response is just your heart. You're giving Him your heart. So before we leave today, let's respond to God with the way that He is stirring you. You're welcome to come to the front if you just need to get your mind set on Him. If you need to say, God, I want to take practical steps. Help me. I want my heart to be yours. Help me. I'm having trouble moving. Some of you just may need to go to someone else in this room. You may need to step out and make a phone call to somebody God's highlighting. Say, hey, where are you? I'm coming over in 30 minutes. I've got someone to give you. Whatever you need to do, don't delay. So let's stand up and let's worship to God and let's respond to the thing that He's putting in your heart.
The great unknown.